All right. How you guys doing? You guys excited? Oh, praise God, all three of you. That's good. The rest of you, I'm glad you're here. We'll see what we can do for you. But hey, we're getting a little range chair set up there. We got the red screen of fun. That's my insurance. That means everything's working out pretty good. So I'm glad to see that up there. But good to see you guys. Hey, how many guys believe in miracles tonight? Hey, man, praise God, because if I get this done in time, you're going to see one. And lots going on, lots of great things, lots of things happening. And hey, give it up for Brother Gates again. That was absolutely awesome. I tell you what, the one of the neat things, that's kind of my background, if you guys are familiar with the New Age and stuff. And I used to be one of those promoters of this One World Religion movement. It's real, and people are really promoting it. And what's scary to me is a former New Age and a person involved and promoter of that stuff before I got saved, it's very alarming to see that in the church. And if you ever want to do another one thing, we're actually having to deal with this just to do a little segue, Mr. Gates, if you don't mind. But you may have already come across this. But if you guys don't realize, you also need to pay attention to what's going on with the Southern Baptists. Okay? And what's going on there is they have thrown their ring in the hat with building a Muslim mosque in New Jersey with the ERLC, the commission there, also with the International Mission Board. They've signed on with an amicus brief, a legal brief, with other ecumenical religions and promotion of building this mosque. And in our research, because the church that I pastor is currently Southern Baptist, key word currently, and we're having to deal with this. Because in our research, we found out that's an insane decision with all due respect. Okay? But why are they doing this? Well, in our research, we discovered that the ERLC, the Ethics Religious Liberty Commission, who Russell Moore is the head of, he is now, the Ethics Religious Liberty Commission is a NGO of the United Nations, a non-governmental organization. And then we did research. In order to be in good standing with the United Nations as an NGO, you have to abide by, promote, and believe in their principles. And so that begins to make sense why, certainly don't agree with it, but why they would make such an insane decision. Folks, this ecumenical movement is going everywhere. And we're talking the mainline denominations, evangelical organizations, Christian ministries, Christian people, Christian leaders that you thought would never, ever slide are going in mass. But take heart, the Bible told us nearly 2,000 years ago this would happen. It's all part of the rise of apostasy. And I'm not even here to talk about that. I'm talking about something else. But anyway, I just had to say that because we're dealing with that right now in the United States, even at the church that I pastor. So just to give you a heads up, it's everywhere. But we're going to talk about some Big Brother. Anybody ever have Big Brother growing up? Of course, people like me vertically challenged that everybody's bigger. But Big Brother. We're going to talk about a Big Brother. And but it's not that kind of Big Brother. It's one that's actually going to be able to monitor, control, and frankly take out anybody anywhere on the planet. And it's much further along than what people really want to realize. And that's what we're going to talk about here tonight. But, man, I must be a preacher. I'm just blabbing on and on. I ain't even got started yet. But let me do what I always do. Swallow my gum. And now I'm ready to go. So those of you watch the videos, you know what I'm talking about. But let's go ahead and let's get started in prayer. Father, thank you so much for tonight. And what a great opportunity is your people that we can come and gather and be nourished and encouraged by your truth. And Lord, we just finished up. You blessed us with a great message, warning us and encouraging us not to be a part of darkness. And to come out, be ye separate. And so help us, God, to be true to that. Because darkness leads people to hell. And we don't want to be a part of that. You've rescued us from hell through Jesus Christ and Him alone. And God, as we take a look tonight, some of this stuff is frankly very alarming, and frankly, it can be scary. Help us, though, not to act in fear. May this get us more excited about your soon return, Jesus. We don't know the day nor the hour, but it's getting very, very, very close. And when you come and get us, God, may you find us faithful, not hauled up in a cave, not freaking out, but out there doing what you told us to do, the Great Commission, sharing the gospel that other people could join us one day in heaven. We're not the losers in this equation. We're the winners. Help us to always have that winning mentality and that winning smile leading souls to you. We love you, and we just pray and ask your blessings upon this study. And we ask all this in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, how many of you guys were familiar with my swallowing the gum thing? All right, praise God. That's just, I don't know what it is. It's a spring in my step. I don't know. That's what it does for me. But anyway, but then you know what's coming when I get ready to preach. It's a corny joke, and I got one for you. Here you go. This is it. Hey, this young couple, they decided to get married, and but as the big day approached, listen to this. They grew very apprehensive. Okay? You see, each one had a problem that they'd never shared with anyone before, not even each other. Big mistake, right? So the groom-to-be, overcoming his fear, he decides to ask his father for advice. And he says, Dad, he says, man, I am deeply concerned about the success of my marriage. You see, Dad, I love my fiance very much, but Dad, you see, I've got very, very smelly feet. And I'm afraid that my fiance, my future wife, she's going to be put off by them. And so, Dad, you know, we always have an answer for everything, right? He says, hey, no problem, son. Here's what you do. All you got to do is wash your feet as often as possible and always wear socks, even to bed. Well, the groom, he thought, hey, it's a pretty good idea. I think I'll try it, right? And so meanwhile, the bride-to-be, she's discussing her fear with her mom, and she tells her, she says, Mom, listen, I got a problem. She says, Mom, when I wake up in the morning, my breath is truly awful. And she goes, honey, come on, everybody has bad breath in the morning. And she goes, well, Mom, you don't understand. My morning breath is so bad, I am afraid that my new husband, he won't even want to sleep in the same room with me. So her mom simply said this, okay, fine, try this. In the morning, get straight out of bed and head for the bathroom and brush your teeth. The key word is to not say a word until you've brushed your teeth. Not a word. Well, the bride, she thought, this is a pretty good plan. She decided to put it into play too. And so the loving couple, they were finally married in this beautiful ceremony, and not forgetting the advice that each one had received from their parents, he with his perpetual socks and her with her morning silence, you know, they managed quite well. Until about 6 months later. Check this out. Shortly before dawn, the husband, he wakes with a start to find that one of his socks had come off. Yeah, so fearful of the consequences, he's searching frantically all over the bed. And, well, this, of course, woke up his bride. And without thinking, she immediately asked, what on earth are you doing? And the husband gasped in shock, oh, no, you swallowed my sock. Ooh, wow. That's not a good way to start a marriage. But how many of you guys look discerning tonight? How many of you guys would say that that couple is headed for some serious upheaval in their marriage? You know, in a big way there, okay? But believe it or not, folks, did you know that the Bible says that our whole planet, not just that couple, our whole planet is headed for some serious upheaval, and that's going to happen right when the 7-year tribulation starts. And people ain't going to be saying just, oh no, you swallowed my sock. Oh no, what have I done? Why did I not listen to those Christians who kept telling me that I better get saved now? Jesus said it's going to be the worst time in the history of mankind. And that unless God even shortened that time frame and just kept it to 7 years, the entire human race would be destroyed. And the reason why is because when you take a look at the book of Revelation, when you take a look at the details of the 7-year tribulation, the Bible is absolutely clear. It is going to be an absolute total bloodbath. Most of the planet is going to be literally annihilated during the 7-year tribulation. You don't want to be anywhere a part of that. But don't take my word for it. As always, let's listen to God. So if you got your Bibles, and hopefully you do, open them to Revelation chapter 6. Let's take a look at the beginning, the first half, okay, of the 7-year tribulation with the sealed judgments. And let's take a look at just the first phase of annihilation of the planet. Mass annihilation of the planet. Revelation chapter 6. If you find the dictionary, what do? Hang a left. You'll get right there. Just, it's the last book. There you go. But Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Let's take a look at the events of the sealed judgments, okay, and what happens to the people on planet Earth, okay? It is a bloodbath. Let's take a look there. Chapter 6, verse 1, I watched as the Lamb, key word here, who's opening up these seals? Who's in charge here? Who's administering these judgments at the very get-go? Jesus Christ, God. This is God's wrath through and through. The Lamb, he opens up the first of the 7 seals, and then I heard one of the 4 living creatures say in a voice like thunder, come. And I looked, and there before me was a white horse, and its white rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. So we're dealing, of course, with the Antichrist. When the Lamb, Jesus, opens up the second seal, and then I heard a second living creature say, come. And then another horse came out, a fiery red one, and its rider was given power to take peace from the earth, and listen, to make men slay each other, and to him was given a large sword. Well, then he goes on. He says, when the Lamb opens the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come. And I looked, and there before was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And then I heard what sounded like a voice among the 4 living creatures say, a quart of wheat for a day's wages, and 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages. And do not damage the oil or the wine. And then he goes to this. This is the fourth of the so-called four horses of the apocalypse. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come. And I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider's name was Death, and Hades was following close behind him. And they were given a power over how much? A fourth of the earth, one fourth of the earth, to kill. How? Four different ways. By sword, by famine, by plague. And he mentions even this interesting thing there, by wild beasts of the earth. So here what you have is a classic passage here. The event, Revelation 6:1, is a parallel passage to Daniel 9:27. Bang, the very event that starts the seven-year tribulation. What starts the 70th week of Daniel's 70th week prophecy, that final week, the seven-year tribulation? That's why I say seven-year tribulation, not two or 112 or whatever. Okay? It's when the Antichrist makes the peace treaty, the covenant with the people of Israel. And this is a parallel passage. This is the white horse rider. Bang! So at the very get-go, here it comes. And what do you see? You see the Antichrist. He makes his appearance, but it's short-lived. This false utopia, this false peace. What happens? The second seal, the war, the global war that breaks out, okay, is what comes next, okay? And it says there ultimately gets to what is the death toll of what's happening with these seals. It says right there, one-fourth of the earth is going to be killed. One-fourth of our planet is going to be annihilated. Now, that's a huge number. If this were to happen today, okay, to give you an idea how big of a number this is going to be, based on our population, one-fourth of the earth would be 1.8 billion people gone just like that. Not million, billion. Nearly 2 billion people are going to die just in the first half of the seven-year tribulation. And by the way, that's just the first half. And that's just these particular judgments. Okay? The Bible says, listen to this, in the second half of the trumpet judgment, you're still not even to the bowls yet. Another third of the planet's going to go up. And that's what we see here, Revelation 9, 15 through 16. And the four angels who've been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year were released so that they would what? Kill a third of mankind. The number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. Okay? And so now we see another slaughter in the back half, the second half of the seven-year tribulation. And what's interesting, if you do the math, okay, you do the math, you take the 1.8 billion subtracted from the current population, if it were to happen today, right? And then you take a third of that, you end up with another 108 billion. Kind of interesting. But basically, you add those two things. If this were to happen today, with our current population, just in these two judgments alone, listen, this is the annihilation factor. 3.6 billion people are going to die. Now, this is the trumpet judgment, so this is just shortly after in the second half. You still got the rest of the trumpets, you still got the bowls to come. So in a relatively short amount of time, listen, the Bible says 3.6 billion people are going to be slaughtered. Do you understand that? Not 3.6 million. 3.6 billion. And that's not everything else. That's not even counting the unfortunate second Jewish Holocaust that is coming by the Antichrist. Zechariah 13. We know that. The one-third sovereignly protected in Revelation 12 by the Archangel Michael. Two-thirds are annihilated. Can you believe that? This is a horrible time frame you don't want to be a part of. No wonder Jesus says this is the worst time in the history of mankind. If God didn't keep it to the 7 years, the whole planet's gone. Okay? But here's my question that I want to pose to you today. That's a lot of people. 3.6 billion people dying relatively quickly all over the planet. Okay? And so my question is, do we have the technology today to do this quick annihilation of people? Not using, dare I say, nuclear warfare. Now you might say, well, why are you saying that? Well, because that's always the easy answer, right? Well, of course we got the technology. We've had it for a long time, ever after World War II. We could just, mankind could drop nuclear bombs, and that'll take up, 3.6 billion people, lickety-split. Well, think about it. A nuclear bomb to murder this many people, to kill them, this many people, you would create a nuclear winter. Right? As soon as you would do this, even in the first half, okay, as an instrument, if that's what it was, you're done. The world stops. Everything comes to a halt. But that's not what we see in the seven-year tribulation. We see even in the first half, after this first fourth, The Antichrist, he's yet to set up his Mark of the Beast system. They're still moving forward. They're still trying to grab the global, the ten-horned kingdom together. He's going to implement this Mark of the Beast around the world. He's going to control what everybody does, buying and selling. So that's still going to continue. You're not going to have that ability in a nuclear winter. So presuppose with me then, well, wait a second. Then how are you going to annihilate 3.6 billion people in a relatively short amount of time without using nuclear warfare? Do we have the capability to do that today? Yeah. And folks, this is what is a combination of a couple technologies that's out there, and that is drone technology, but drone technology that is being combined with artificial intelligence on a global scale. In a nutshell, the movies Terminator, Skynet, it's being built. I'm not making this up. It's being built. And I can't say, thus saith the Lord, but you start putting all this together. I believe that system is going to be a part of this annihilation we see in the seven-year tribulation. Now, here's the point. That happens during the seven-year tribulation. We don't know the day nor the hour of the rapture. Hello, I don't care how nifty you are with a calculator. We don't know the day nor the hour. But listen, if we see the technology to pull off this annihilation, and that happens during the seven-year tribulation, then how much closer is the rapture of the church which takes place prior? That means it's getting close. And I want to demonstrate to you that that technology is not just coming. It's not just being built. That technology is already here. Drone technology, artificial intelligence. Lord willing, be here first thing in the morning. Lord willing, if we're not raptured tonight, the study, because we're going to deal with the artificial intelligence first thing in the morning there. But let's deal with that drone technology, okay? It's being militarized. Okay, it's not just out there, you know, the dads and the kids and the latest doodad, and you got to have it. You know, it was one of the hottest items last Christmas, last couple Christmases, right? You got to have it. And then you've seen the videos that the Amazon's going to use it to deliver packages, and it's going to be nifty, and they're using it for entertainment perks. They even have drone races. It's a new form of entertainment. It isn't just that. These things are being flooded in the sky, and they're being militarized. Okay, that's the concern. You go back to our text. They're not just flying in the skies, they're being militarized all over the place. They're not just in the private sector, okay, and we demonstrate this in our documentary that we have over there on this. They're not just in the business sector, believe it or not, they're also in the agricultural sector, they're in the commercial sector, they're in the media sector, they're in the transportation sector. Every form of transportation you can think of is being droned out. And gee, in a time of crisis, if somebody controlled the whole transportation system and you tried to flee, all they would have to do is push a button and you ain't going nowhere. Well, that's being built too. But I don't have time to get into that. Okay, I'm just talking about this stuff that's being militarized. Now, believe it or not, here in the West, not just the United States, okay, but here in the West, police forces are using this drone technology. And this is the latest, greatest thing. They're investing all kinds of money into this, okay? And they're being used to not just monitor people, they're being used to take people out if they so choose. Do the research for yourself. Right now, folks, drones are being used for crowd control, and they're not just watching us. See, we think, well, okay, they're just watching us. As long as I'm not doing anything bad, I got nothing to worry about. Mm-mm. What if you became the bad guy? Who gets to determine that? So, but it's not just they're watching you. These things, some of them are being used to shoot pepper spray at people. Some are being loaded up with facial recognition software to find you anywhere, including in a crowd. They will find you. You cannot hide. Some of them have the ability to scan your cell phone, grab your data, and track you wherever you go. We have a whole message over here on Big Brother just on cell phones, if you want to get equipped on that one. Some also are being equipped with infrared technology, listen, to look for heat signatures behind walls, including concrete walls. You can't hide with this technology, okay? And now, what's even more alarming, that's just the police forces here in the West. Europe is doing the same thing, okay? But what's alarming is there's a new trend. Police forces are now using this technology, they're militarizing it, but they're working now with the military. They're working with the militaries around the world. And so the police forces are calling, hey, we're looking for Mr. Goetz. I saw that message. We saw it right behind those walls. We need to go get him, right? But guess what? They're working with the military, and the military is launching predator drones. Do you know what the predator drones are? The predator drones are the ones they're using, I'll get to that in a little bit, that they're using to kill people with over in the Middle East. They come equipped with Hellfire missiles. But the problem is the police are now working with the military. Police got their own drones. Military's got tons of drones. But now they're working together to find the average Joe, even with predator drones. In fact, one of them, let me give you just one example that was used, okay, and they're being used for pretty mundane reasons. The police called the military to find cattle thieves. Now, I'm not condoning thievery, right? I'm not condoning stealing cows, okay? But give me a break. You launch a predator drone with hellfire missiles against a citizen in the West? Okay, it was in North Dakota, which ain't that far away from Canada, folks. Okay, let's take a look at that.
Well, we begin this afternoon with signs that the U.S. may be moving in the direction of becoming a police state. Now, we've heard about drones being used in the Middle East. Most recently, Iran seized a U.S. drone accused of spying on the country. But now reports that predator drones are being used on American citizens on U.S. soil. This video pretty much sums it all up.
Nelson County, North Dakota Sheriff Kelly Yonke went looking for six missing cattle on a Brossard family farm when three armed Brossard brothers chased him away. Yonke called the highway patrol, a SWAT team, a bomb squad, and a predator drone operated by U.S. Customs and Border Protection. The drone was used to surveil the property until the Brossard brothers were observed to be unarmed. Then the SWAT team moved in to make the arrests.
Yes, that really happened. An unmanned multi-million dollar drone was reportedly used to help local police track down stolen cows and their owners. So what is happening here in the U.S., and is this a sign of things to come?
Yeah, it is. You're going to launch that with some guys with cattle thieves? That's a pretty mundane. I'm not condoning that, but give me a break. Come on. A predator drone to hunt down cattle thieves, okay? But isn't that always the excuse? But hey, don't worry, we'll never use it on you. We're here to protect you. Well, again, folks, that's the slippery slope. What if you became the so-called cattle thief? What if you became the so-called bad guy? Listen, what if you became the terrorist? And are you paying attention to the verbiage on you and I, the evangelical Christian out there? We are being compared as the right-wing fundamental extremist terrorists, who have the audacity, who not only refuses to go along with a moral issue, i.e. homosexuality, but we have the audacity to say that our religion, our way, is the only way. You're just as bad as those Muslim terrorists that we have to use this technology to hunt down. You flip the switch. The propaganda, just like what Hitler did with the Jewish people, is being built before our very eyes, except it's against us. The technology's already out there, folks. Okay. Oh, and by the way, I'm not making this up. Did you notice, listen, that predator drone was able to see those guys with what? With infrared technology. This is real tech. There's no place to hide, folks. I'll make out into my bug out shelter. You never make it there. Stand the line, hold the line for Jesus Christ. Okay? But anyway, and again, they're armed to take you out. Okay, but I don't know about you, but I am so comforted. I mean, that's alarming. But I am so comforted that our leaders of our countries are here to protect us. My notes actually say, insert laughter here. Okay, thank you for reading my notes. Are you kidding me? Right? Folks, drones right now are already being used as we speak, and I kid you not, there is a plan to put not 3, not 30, not 300, not 3,000, 30,000 of these surveillance drones all across the West. Monitoring everything. See, we just thought they were going to leave them in the Middle East. No, they're going to put them here too, to monitor us. Okay, let's take a look at that.
A new generation of surveillance drones could soon be watching us all from overhead. The Federal Aviation Administration is expected to announce plans to expand the use of domestic drones in American airspace. Eyes in the sky, similar to the unmanned aircraft that the United States has been using to target terrorists abroad. Here at home, the surveillance systems can be used to track terrorists or drug dealers or to find missing children or locate wandering Alzheimer's patients. Lots of different good uses, but the critics warn the use of drones presents a major threat to all of our personal privacy. Meantime, a newly discovered Air Force intelligence document leaked and posted online states, if drones capture surveillance footage of Americans incidentally, the data can be stored and analyzed by the Pentagon for up to 90 days. And that's not all. The Fox Report's chief correspondent, Jonathan Hunt, is with us. When are these drones likely to be flying, and How many of them might there be above our heads?
Well, there's a growing number already, Shep, but according to the experts, and indeed the FAA itself, there could be as many as 30,000 of these kind of drones, 30,000 flying overhead within the next decade. Now, obviously, law enforcement agencies love these drones, and they say they'll be able to save lives in things like hostage situations or search and rescue operations. But obviously, the privacy concerns are huge, because they will, in effect, bring every single backyard in America into the authorities' view.
Wow. And if they get out of line, don't forget these babies are equipped and they can take you out. Just like overseas, you won't even see it coming. They even have a phrase now, they say, if you hear the buzz of a drone, you're already dead. 30,000 is the plan. Oh, and by the way, for those of you, in all seriousness, who are still trying to hold out and think that our leaders really would never use even this technology on us, even here in the West, then you need to think again. Our former President Obama actually admitted he likes to kill people with drones. See, I didn't say that. He did. Watch this.
You know, the last thing I ever expected to come out of a Nobel Peace Prize winner's mouth is this. I'm really good at killing people. Yes, folks, according to a new book, Double Down, our beloved president, constitutional lawyer, Nobel laureate Barack Obama, apparently loves to brag about how well he can execute human beings with drones.
Okay, so much for being protected. Let's just move on, shall we? Folks, it's already in place. The leadership, that mentality of, boy, is there a war going on in our own country right now? Okay, no pun intended. And these people want these kind of people back in leadership. Okay? And my own reports with Mr. Trudeau, you guys got your hands full too, don't you? Right? But this is happening here in the West. We got those kind of leaders who admit they like killing people with this technology. And they want it here even in the West. You see, again, we just thought they were going to leave this technology in the Middle East. Okay? In fact, right now, conservative estimates, right now, just under 6,000 people have been killed using drones. Now, and that's just what is being reported. How many is that number really? In fact, believe it or not, once again, I think with the aid of Hollywood, we are being conditioned to have these things in the sky, and dare I say, take people out to get out in line, to condition us to it. Have you guys learned this one yet? Hollywood isn't about entertainment. Hollywood is predicting our future for us. It tells us in advance what's coming, so that when it comes, it doesn't shock us too bad. Have you learned that one yet? Now, believe it or not, this whole scenario, I couldn't believe I came across this one. Of all episodes, Hawaii Five-O, woohoo! Right, Hawaii Five-O, the surfer show, the detective show. They came out with an episode on killer drones. And I'm sitting there going, listen, are you guys really scraping the barrel that bad? I mean, I don't know what to come up with. We've ran out with all these shark attacks. What are we doing? I know. How about killer drones? Yeah. Okay, let's write one. It's like, are you kidding me? Of all programs to promote, they're envisioning in our minds these things killing people from the sky. You might as well just get used to it. Watch this.
All right, this is QV-901. It's a surveillance drone with no other payload, which means it flies unarmed. 3 weeks ago, while I was on a routine test flight, it was hijacked, never recovered.
How do you hijack a drone?
GPS spoofing. Somebody jammed Van Patch's control signal to the UAV, fed it false GPS data, and made it land wherever the hijacker wanted it.
Okay, so what are we looking at here? Inside job? Security breach?
We don't know yet. Van Patch gave us a list of all their current ex-employees that had clearance on the project, so we should run their names against the victims, see if we come up with a connection.
Right, and if we find one, that might explain motive.
Well, I'll tell you something. It takes a special kind of brilliance to hijack a drone, arm it, and reprogram it.
Come on.
a surfer show. Are you serious? What do you know that we don't know? Or once again, you're doing what you always do, and you're preparing us for the future that's being built for us, bloody as it is. Oh, even they got, you know what they also got correct? Not just drones being used, that, because remember they said it was hijacked? How could somebody hijack this drone? Well, how can you hijack it? That's actually a problem. Listen to this. Drones can be hijacked. In fact, the system is being built in place so that we can hijack any drone anywhere on the planet. Listen to this. I mean, this is what we came across. Drones right now, first of all, are being, at least in the United States, it is now mandatory to report all drones to the government. Mandatory. Right? But now, listen to this. Verizon has teamed up and is developing a technology with NASA to monitor all drones everywhere. And here's the rationale. What they say is this. At the moment, there is little to stop persons from flying wherever they want. And the agency would like a technology that will automatically geofence, that's their term, drones, and keep them away from sensitive areas. And so we need to have the ability to, quote, ground drones in bad weather, help them to avoid buildings and each other, and decide which drones have congestion or priority in congestive air spaces. Okay? And NASA is saying that they're going to be able to monitor drones, take over drones, using not just cell phone signals, hence the relationship with Verizon, but also using satellite technology. Wait a second. So if you build this geofence capability, that you will have the ability to tap into any existing drone, no matter what it is, using global satellites, then that means potentially the system that you're building, with the push of a button, could grab control of any drone anywhere on the globe. I wonder if they're going to call that Skynet. Because, folks, that's really what's being built. They're not just launching all this technology. They're not just militarizing this technology. They're not just getting us used to seeing these kind of bloody scenarios in the future with this technology. They're building a system that they can hijack it just like the Hawaii 5 episode did, except on a global scale. Now, fast forward in the 7-year tribulation. Can you imagine this kind of military technology flying all over the world, armed to the teeth, machine guns, grenade launchers, hellfire missiles? It's all up there whether you see it or not. And then somebody has the background information just like the Terminator movie. They push a button and that one person, bang, instantly has total control over all militarized drones on the whole planet. And you know what? My thesis is this. That sure would come in handy if you needed to annihilate half the planet in a relatively short amount of time anywhere on the planet. You know, it's almost like we're living in the last days. You know what we need to do right now before I continue? Let's go ahead and stand up. Let's go ahead and stand up. And we need to do one of the most healthiest exercises you could ever be a part of. Forget jumping jacks. Forget push-ups. Believe you me. Let's do this. Ready? Go ahead. It's called rapture practice. You may sit down. All right. Do that 3 times a day. You're going to feel much better. All right. Hey, folks, we don't know the day. We don't know the hour. But give me a break. This stuff is coming to life. If we see the ability to pull off the events, including the annihilation in the 7-year tribulation, how much closer is the rapture of the church which takes place prior? Okay, but that's just the first part. The second way that we can see this technology being used against people and annihilate them is with the miniaturization of drones. Not just the militarization, but the miniaturization of the drone. And again, it's not just the West. This is a global movement with this, not just drone technology, but killer drone technology. The whole world's getting in on this. Okay, Russia has been working on overtime developing their own killer drones. And listen, they currently have plans to build a military drone base in the Arctic, 420 miles off the Alaskan coast. That should be a Canadian concern. China has already successfully developed their own drone defense system. Well, why are you building a defense system unless you know that this is going to be a whole new way of warfare? But they've, and not only that, they are making so many drones that China is selling them to other countries. Right now, thanks to China, everybody's getting in on this. France, Germany, Italy, Turkey, England, India, Israel, Iran, Pakistan, it's growing. In fact, here's a headline. I'm not making this up. Here's the prediction, and this was a couple years ago. They said every country will have not just drones, but armed drones within 10 years. Which means there's no place to hide on the planet. Okay? But for those of you who might think, well, okay, if I see one of those Hawaii 5-0 drones, or if I see a Predator drone, I'm just going to run and... No, you're not. By the time you hear the noise, you're dead. Okay? But let's just play that little game. If you want to think that, whatever. Okay? You're still not going to be able to escape. We already saw they got infrared technology. They'll find you wherever you try to hide. You're never going to make it to some bug-out shelter. But they're doing two interesting things on top of that. They're miniaturizing these drones with weaponry. And they're also making them look like nature. So it'll be right beside you. You think it's an animal, and it's there to kill you, you won't even recognize it. You see, you think I'm making this up? I'm not. Let me give you some scenario. You see, you just thought that was a bird. Oh, I made it to safety. I'm out here in the nowhere in Canada. They can't get me. Well, you see, you thought that was a bird in that tree. No, that wasn't a bird. Oh, that lizard that was going... No, that's not a lizard. Whoo, that spider almost put my hand on. It just happened to be right there on that log I was hiding behind. No, that's not a spider. No, I'm going to go down to Australia. I'm going down under. And they can't find me. They're even doing it to kangaroos. Oh, no, I'm going to go in the ocean. That's where I'm going to hide. I'm going to go in the biosphere. And they can't find... Hey, look, there's a jellyfish. Mm-mm. A stingray. No. A lobster. Hey, a shark. Woo! Every single one of those that I just mentioned to you, they have made. It's already in existence. You can't even tell, especially the sharks. It looks like a real shark, but it's a drone. It's a drone, folks. They're everywhere, okay? In fact, let me give you just one example. They're working on a cheetah. You're thinking, well, I'll just run. You can't outrun a cheetah. And believe it or not, they are making a drone cheetah to chase people down. Watch this.
First, let's start with who is in charge of technology developments for the military. That is the U.S. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, an agency that is the stuff of mystery novels. And recently, we've noticed they've been beefing up on robots. Most recently, they contracted with Boston Dynamics to create a cheetah robot. Check that out. Look at this drawing. It's a four-legged robot that reportedly runs faster than the fastest human. Will be able to zigzag and take tight turns in order to, quote, chase and evade. It'll also be able to make sudden stops and could end up with a tail.
And what else could be on that thing? Maybe mounted a gun, some other lethal weapon. You know, that starts to make you wonder about that text that we saw. I'm not going to say, thus saith the Lord, but it makes you wonder because John's doing his best to describe this vision he's seeing. But I wonder what was he talking about here back in Revelation 6 when he talks about the four different ways that people are annihilated, one-fourth of the planet, in the first half of the seven-year tribulation. He says this, when the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of a fourth living creature say, come. And I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider's name was Death. Hades was falling right there close behind him. And they were given a power of the fourth of the earth to kill by sword, by famine, by plague, and what? Wild beasts of the earth. She is a wild beast. Looks like one. I don't know. Not going to say, thus saith the Lord, but sure makes you wonder. But see, they're not just making them look like animals because you're just walking along and you think, oh, look at that nice little squirrel. Uh-uh. But they're also miniaturizing them, right? Because I'm sure that was just a fly. No, it was a cockroach is what it was. It was a dragonfly. No, it was a beetle. That's what it was. It was just a beetle. Just happened to be... Once again, every single one of those, they've already made. Drones. They have a term for them. They're called MAVs, or micro aerial vehicles. Okay? And they really are micro. In fact, they're not just micro. They're mimicking insects, spiders, you name it, bugs, all kinds of stuff. Okay? Including flies. Okay? And what's scary is these things come armed. A fly could kill you. Watch this.
Micro air vehicles, or MAVs, will play an important role in future warfare. The urban battlefield calls for tools to increase the warfighter's situational awareness and capacity to engage rapidly, precisely, and with minimal collateral damage. MAVs will be integrated into future Air Force layered sensing systems. These systems may be airdropped or hand-launched, depending on the mission requirements.
I'm sorry, did that plane just shoot out a bunch of little tiny drones? Terrifying! Really terrifying. So these micro air vehicles, or MAVs, are designed to deal with urban battlefields with rapid precision. The question is, what urban battles are military fighting that they need this kind of creepy technology? And forget about shooting these things down. They're about this big.
The small size of MAVs allows them to be hidden in plain sight. Once in place, an MAV can enter a low-powered extended surveillance mode for missions lasting days or weeks. This may require the MAV to harvest energy from environmental sources, such as sunlight or wind, or from man-made sources, such as power lines and vibrating machinery.
Hidden in plain sight on missions that could last weeks? Powered by the sun or power lines? And did you see that little Terminator-looking pigeon? Orwell would be rolling in his grave if he could see the absurdly dystopic reality we're about to be living in. But their small size is not just to linger undetected outdoors. It's also to gain access inside.
Small size and agile flight will enable MAVs to covertly enter locations inaccessible by traditional means of aerial surveillance. Multiple MAVs, each equipped with small sensors, will work together to survey a large area. Information from these sensors will be combined, providing this swarm of MAVs with a big picture point of view.
Maybe these places are not conducive to traditional surveillance methods because it's supposed to be illegal to surveil people's homes without a warrant. And also, how frightening is it to think of a swarm of these little robots coming at you in a dark hallway? Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. They see all. They communicate together, offering this big picture image to whoever's sitting on the other end of the screen. Can anyone say Minority Report? Because this is literally what this country's turning into. And if that isn't chilling enough, sit tight, because it's about to get worse.
While some MAVs may be used purely for visual reconnaissance, others may be used for targeting or tagging of sensitive locations. Individual MAVs may perform direct attack missions and can be equipped with incapacitated chemicals, combustible payloads, or even explosives for precision targeting capability.
Wow. So if the surveillance fails, then these mini robots can and will set off explosives, chemical agents, and even assassinate human beings. At whose direction? Obama? The same person who has targeted the execution of a 16-year-old without due process? Gee, that's comforting. But will these MAVs really be used everywhere in the future of warfare?
MAVs will become a vital element in the ever-changing warfighting environment and will help ensure success on the battlefield of the future. Unobtrusive, pervasive, lethal, micro-air vehicles, enhancing the capabilities of the future warfighter.
Unobtrusive, pervasive, and lethal. So, welcome to the brave new world, kids, and watch out for bugs, because the next time you try to kill a fly, it might kill you first.
That would be funny if it weren't so true. I don't know about you, but I think the logical response to this information is I'm going to stock up on fly swatters, and I'm getting rid of my bird feeders and bird baths. I'm not going to track any of these things, and yeah, whatever. Excuse me, can you believe this is actual technology, right? Stir all this together. Now you got these things in the sky. Now you got them look like every animal on the sun. It's on the in the air. It's on the land. It's on the water. It's under the water. It's flies. It's bugs. It's termites. It's dragonflies. It's beetles. It's what are... Somebody pushes a button, hijacks this whole system all over the planet, and you equip it where even flies could take people out. And you got, for the first time in mankind's history, the ability at a fingertip to annihilate half the planet in a short amount of time. Wow.
But apparently they need a cleanup crew, because that leads us to the third and final one that I want to share with you. They're also making men drones. And basically, in short, they're creating a new soldier just like the Terminator robots. I'm not making this up. And you're going to see the proof in just a second. Okay? Apparently, and this is my rationale, all the other drones on the air, on the ground, the water, under the water, insects, animals, all over the place, armed to the teeth, ready to kill you. If they somehow miss you, then they got a wave force on the ground that could still get the job done. Okay? And they are being looked upon as the new future soldier. I'm not joking. They're building these as we speak. In fact, they've been building them for years. And they are looked upon as the new future soldier. Okay? And I don't have time to go into how all military existing equipment is being equipped with artificial intelligence. So we do not even need humans for fighter jets, submarines, boats, you name it. We'll get to that tomorrow morning with AI. Don't miss that. Okay? But they don't need a human for anything, including for soldiers. And they've come a long way. Their first version of this, Terminator human soldier, okay, was called Pet Man. And this was several years back, but look how far they were with even this guy. Let's take a look at Pet Man.
In 2009, Boston Dynamics introduced Pet Man, a robot that balanced itself, walked, and even did some calisthenics.
We're interested in getting this robot out into the world. Out in the world is just a totally different challenge than in the lab, and we're making pretty good progress on making it so it has mobility that's sort of within shooting range of yours. I'm not saying it can do everything you can do, but you can imagine if we keep pushing, we'll get there.
So much for hiding in the woods. Isn't that weird looking? Isn't that kind of creepy? Seeing it even out of the lab, now it's walking like a person. Whew. Now, believe it or not, folks, they are deadly serious about this, pun intended. And it's not just the militaries here in the West, it's all over the world. Everybody's building these new future soldiers. In fact, their words, not mine, the whole way of warfare is changing. They actually liken it to the Old West, when gold was discovered. There's gold in our hills, and everybody, you know, it created a rush. There's a rush for this kind of technology right now as we sit here all over the planet. And the militaries are all trying to outdo each other, because whoever comes up with this first and perfects it, you got all the power you need, combined with all this other drone technology. So that's what's going on behind the scenes. But they're serious. In fact, in the United States, they want to replace 1/4 of all U.S. soldiers with these guys by 2030. And the rationale is this. They say, unlike human soldiers, these guys, listen, they're the perfect soldier. They have no fear. They don't whine. They don't cry. They don't complain. They do what they're told every single time. And the other rationale that they have is they're very cost effective. 1/4 of the Pentagon's budget is comprised of taking care of military servicemen and women. And rightly so. But that's a big cost. 1/4 their budget. Well, you don't need to continue after service these entities' care, unlike people. So it's a monetary issue. And they want them as human as possible. Listen to this. This was 7 years ago. 7 years ago, DARPA, the same ones who were making the robot cheetah thing, 7 years ago, they were developing what's called neuromorphic chips. Neuromorphic is basically a fancy way of saying a brain chip, okay, that mimics the human brain's biological cortex. 7 years ago, DARPA, the same ones with this drone technology, was working on that, and they say, quote, they're putting these brain chips into drones, and it will give them the ability to create a real-life Terminator robot scenario and make it a reality. And thanks to this brain chip, the robot does not need a human to tell it what to do anymore. Listen, quote, it can learn and act on its own. Just like the Terminator movies. That was 7 years ago. And this is public knowledge. If you look for it, and I have a general rule, anything they release to the public, we're 20 years behind the technology. And just even releasing this information in our documentary, Attack of the Drones, Skynet is coming, okay? After we did that documentary not that long ago, I changed my rule. We interviewed military guys, and they shared just declassified information with us. My rule is this. Anything they shared in the public, we're at least 30, 40, 50 years behind the technology. 20's nothing. So if 7 years ago you're making brain chips to put into these things,
What do you really got? In fact, remember we saw Pet Man? Pet Man was still dependent on man. He's freaky looking. He's out there in the forest. But what did he have on him? He still had the cord. He still needed a human to interact with. They cut the cord. The same entities cut the cord. They have a new, they have a big brother now. His name is Atlas. And watch what Atlas can do. This just recently got released. And again, you release this, what do you really got? Let's take a look at that. Now, I don't know if you guys could hear that, but I think he said, I'll be back. Don't you ever shove me with a hockey stick. You're in for it now, buddy. That's what they're releasing to the public. What's the rule? What do you really got? That's already in place. Why am I bringing this up? Because it makes me wonder, personally. In the 7-year tribulation, there's going to be an annihilation of the planet. I don't think it's going to be nuclear warfare. I don't think it can be logically. But I'm still not going to say, thus saith the Lord. And so the dilemma is, how are you going to annihilate 3.6 billion people anywhere on the planet, literally in a very short amount of time? How are you going to do that? What kind of technology do they have? It's already here. In the air, in the sky, on the ground, the water, under the water, the cleanup crew on the ground, the bugs, the animals, everything, and it's all armed to the teeth, even a fly could be sent to take you out. There was no place to hide. There was no way of escape except one. And his name is Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus said, when these things begin to take place, folks, okay, these are the events of the 7-year tribulation, right? That happens during that time frame, okay? He says that when you see these things begin to take place, what do you do? Run, hide, freak out, go to the hills. Oh, no, he didn't. Wrong translation. What do you say? Stand up, do your rapture practice, woohoo! Because our redemption draws near. It's not time to get fearful, it's time to get faithful. It's time to get excited. I don't know the day nor the hour, but if I see the technology needed to pull off the events of the 7-year tribulation, and all I know is the rapture takes place prior, how much closer is that? And last time I checked, getting raptured and going to heaven is way better than here. Hello. So we should be excited about this information that shows this reality. But if you're here tonight, I don't know your heart, but God does. And if you're not trusting solely in the work of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross to get you to heaven, you're not going to heaven. You're not a Christian. And you will not go with the rapture. Only Christians go with the rapture. You need to get saved now. Why do you think God has you here? Why do you think he's warning you in advance? He's merciful. God is not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance, even you. He wants you to respond. You need to call upon the name of Jesus Christ. You need to do it now, not tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow. The rapture could happen tonight. And it's too late. You don't want to be in the 7-year tribulation. It's going to be a total bloodbath. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. You need to cry out to Jesus. Ask Him to forgive you of all your sins. Believe in your heart. The Bible says that God raised Him from the grave and you shall be saved. Not just from hell, but from God's wrath in the 7-year tribulation. There's only one way out. It's the most amazing sacrificial act of love from God the Father. That He would give of His only Son so that other people who frankly could give a rip and save them anyway. He sacrificed His Son in our place so that we could go free if we would just accept that gift. That's John 3:16. And the best way I've ever seen John 3:16 is encapsulated in this video. Call upon Jesus tonight and reflect, church, that when we share the gospel, this is what we're saying, and it's nothing to be fearful of. It's the greatest act of love ever. Let's take a look. That's it in a nutshell, isn't it? That's why we have nothing to be ashamed of, Christian, when we share God's love with the lost. It's the most amazing act of love ever. Don't ever be ashamed of that. And I often think about that video, not just as a parallel of John 3:16, but I often wonder if God looks at us like the man at the very end, saying it was worth it. And does he look at us and say it was worth it for saving them because they're telling everybody about what I did and the sacrificing of my son? That's the point for us. But if you're here and you're not saved, that's what we're asking you to receive. God doesn't want you to crash. God doesn't want you to go to hell. God doesn't want you in the 7-year tribulation. He pulled the lever on his son, Jesus, on the cross to forgive you and rescue you. But you got to receive it. Won't you receive that tonight? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for tonight. We just thank you for waking us up as your people, encouraging us. We don't know the day nor the hour, but we know it's getting close. But God, you make the amazing statement, when you come back, will you find faith? May we be found faithful as your people. Not ashamed of your gospel, not in a state of fear or panic, but boldly declaring the greatest story of love ever, your good news, the gospel. That souls would be won for you before they go into a train wreck, worst in the history of mankind. And God, if anybody's here tonight, by the power of your Spirit, even now would you please draw them to you, that they would truly respond and cry out to Jesus and be saved before it's too late. We love you, and we just pray and ask your blessings upon this study, both studies already tonight, and for the rest of this conference, or until you come back and get us, whatever happens first. We ask all these things in your wonderful name, in your powerful name, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.